Vicki and Lou Goldzer interviewing Anita LaPatton for the National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Project. On June 21st, 1985, Anita, would you give me your name and address?
Anita LaPatton, 307 South Kittredge Street.
Okay, Anita, now the way we ended last time was you said that the angel, it was the year the angel ball died, and now we know that the Y has been sold. I think what we need to talk about is...
Wait. Are you saying that the angel ball, you're not putting the angel ball and the Y being sold in the same year?
No, not in the same year, but I'm putting it into the concept that there's a change, there is a coming, and then all of a sudden you decided that you were going to retire. So what I'd like to talk to you about is what brought these changes. You were very significant when you said that we stopped, the Y stopped being an adult education center when we got competition and there was no more need for it. So we want to talk about that.
Hello? Yes. Okay, Sharon, how are you?
But that was a telephone interruption. So the researcher name.
Wait, the question you're asking me is,
what do you see?
The
what
changes brought
about
in
the changes in the Y and the changes maybe in our entire lifestyle from, you know, what has happened?
It's on. At that point in time, when the Y stopped being an adult education center, was when the colleges started to go into adult education and all of the synagogues were going into adult education. And one of the things that I think the center always prided itself on was that it identified community needs and served its needs, and then when it isn't necessary anymore, you can reshuffle your priorities.
What do you view as the priority now? Need now?
If I had to place it, I would look at the need for Jewish identity. I would look at the growing number of single parents. I would look at the growing number of singles altogether, and ways to support family.
When you say need for emphasizing Jewish identity, does that mean that you think the synagogues are not doing the proper, they're playing their proper role?
No, I don't want to say the synagogues aren't playing their proper role, but I think one of the things that has happened is that the synagogues themselves haven't really looked at the fact that it's the Jewish, the ritual, the ceremonial, that is their real strength and their real need. And too many of them, instead of making their own services more exciting and more involved and involving the young people and everything else, began to go into everybody else's business. The phys ed business, the group work business, everything. So I think the key to what we all have to do is do our own business and do it well and work together to meet every need of the community. That's been my cry all these years. I can't get into the turf business. You and I have to figure out ways to meet a problem together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was saying to Lou today that it seems that there's so much objection to where the Y should be built in Squirrel Hill. When you go to the Y today, there's two lady masseuses instead of, you know, 15 or 16. Are you saying maybe we've outgrown the need, or am I being naive?
No, I don't think we've outgrown the need. You know, you're going back talking to the health center itself. Let me just tell you what the rationale for the health center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jewish community centers and Y's all over the country were the first ones in that business, and everybody took it from there. But what happened, the center here never kept up with the times in the decor. The services are there, but the decor and improving the properties and building the racquetball courts was never met. I think the center feels very strongly that there should be a Jewish community center, health center, because it's a place for, there's more to it than just a physical body. It's a camaraderie that goes with it that's so important to the Jewish community. Because whether we like to say it or not, the more opportunities we build to be just a little bit of a shtetl, the more of a strength there is in our own Judaism.
Are there other agencies in the community maybe meeting that need?
No.
No, you don't see the country club, the racquetball, the...
Vicki, we would get into such dangerous waters talking, mm-hmm. comparing ourselves to a country club. We have to be a place where anybody who comes to the door can walk in. That there's you're never turned away because you can't afford. So we can't even begin to talk about country clubs and private clubs in the same way.
Okay.
You asked about the location. Mm-hmm. That hasn't been decided yet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My dream would be if they find a way to keep it at the corner of Forbes and Murray, because it's such an institution there, and it's an institution that is acceptable to all facets of the community, mm-hmm. which unfortunately doesn't happen in all communities.
How do you feel about the selling of the Y here in Oakland?
Well, do you want me to tell you with my head or my heart?
Both.
With my head, it's something that had to be. As I commented to you before, the money to maintain that building was never there. And so the building is in need of much, much, much money to repair it. So if one is being wise, one would say you do the best you can and build one center that's going to be in this day energy efficient and have all the facilities, because the cost of operating two buildings is impossible. So now let me tell you my heart.
Okay.
That building and I are twins. We were both born in 1926. My first memory of as a child is of my father bringing me by streetcar to the Y, because he was a member of the A.P. Moore Club. And I was obviously the only child they had, because my father and mother had married so young, and all his friends in the A.P. Moore Club didn't have kids. And they gave me a piece of chalk to write on the blackboard so I'd keep quiet while they were having their meeting. Now, I couldn't have been more than 2 years old, but I remember that. So that's how long my association with
what's the A.P. Moore Club? Who was A.P. Moore?
A.P. Moore was a prominent Pittsburgh philanthropist.
Jewish? Who,
I don't think so.
Doesn't sound.
No,
Jewish,
he was not. And he was somehow or other involved with the lady in the red swing. I don't know all this.
That's interesting.
All the exact history of it.
M-O-O-R-E.
Yeah.
Who else were members? Do you remember any other names?
No, I really don't.
But that was 1926.
Well, that would have been about 1928, 2 years old.
What?
You were 2 years old, so it would be about 1928.
Yes. I was born
in
26.
I want to go back to, although you say that when Rotten came and everybody, they had foresight and they were very bright and everything. And here we are with this building now that you say was outdated. They didn't meet up with the needs. Was it what happened? The other thing is, I think that you're talking money, but then I want to talk location. People are moving to Oakland, you know, certain age groups rather than Squirrel Hill. I think, is there anything more we want to talk about the changing times that our generation moving to Oakland?
Yeah, you see, I would suspect at the point that everybody realized that Oakland was again becoming the adult population. There are very few young people in this Oakland area, but the large number of Jewish adults are now living in this area. But when you begin to set your priorities and have a limited amount of money to use, the adult population moving back here was not the priority.
Now, so that, what do you envision, like, this being built in Squirrel Hill? What direction
it
do you
think
it'll
take? It must be built in Squirrel Hill.
Do you feel that the Jewish community is growing in Squirrel Hill, or it seems to me that there's a dissipation out to South Hills again, Fox Chapel, and other areas?
If you check your statistics, Luke, you will find, your demographics, you will find that the large number of people that we expected to go to all of those people has really never happened. There are a few more in Fox Chapel, and that may be increasing, but so far, no. I mean, you know, any big amount. South Hills has not grown that much. The place, you know, I don't want to repeat something I said in the beginning. Did we talk about Squirrel Hill being this most unusual community? Squirrel Hill is probably the most unusual community in the United States of America. It, if you look at it, is an inner city Jewish community. It may be the only inner city community left in this country where it was possible for my father and me and my child and my grandchild to go to the same school. The stability of that community, you can actually blame on our geographics. Now, the change, though, that's coming is that we're becoming an aging community. The national statistics of people over 65 will show that there's probably 12% in the community. Well, I suspect that Squirrel Hill has reached 20% and will go higher. You know, we have had less marriages, we have had less children. The people are there. Now, the United Jewish Federation is in the process of doing another demographic study, which will give us some more facts. But the last study showed that the community, the Squirrel Hill community, numbers-wise, was still there.
So you think that this new building is necessary, you know, in the Squirrel Hill area?
I absolutely do, because that's where the Jewish community is. You know, one of the things that I'm really frightened of, when I mentioned the list of priorities, did I mention the senior adults?
No.
That really should be
number one.
And I don't know why I got off on the tangent, because we are having an increasing number of senior adults in that community. And we must take care of them, because in this day and age of financial need, those on set incomes are getting into more and more trouble, and the services that we can provide, I mean, we must.
How do you feel about the programming now for senior citizens? That is, Aniston House, IKC.
Well, the best thing that ever happened was the merger. Here am I doing a tape for the National Council of Jewish Women. I almost forgot the senior adult.
Merger between
you
the two agencies.
Shot. That was the greatest thing that ever happened.
Because it was competitive before.
Oh,
waste of energy.
Good. And, you know, there's
money.
A wonderful, wonderful story about how the merger finally came about.
Yeah.
For years we had attempted to get that
merger. Between what and what?
Merger between...
Oh. The merger between the National Council of Jewish Women and the Aniston House Jewish Community. Well, that's part of the title.
Mm-hmm.
The merger between the senior adult programs, the Jewish Community Center, and the National Council of Jewish Women. You know, both had been in the senior adult business, and both were doing well, and there they were around the corner from each other, and not really doing anything together. Well, the best thing that could have happened, of course, was to have a merger between the two. But there again, we are in our turf game till you get people to agree. But a very interesting thing happened, and it had to do with the nutrition site.
the Jewish Community Center went, made an application for, to become a nutrition site for the 3A's program, the Area Agency on Aging. Because one of the things that we've always been aware of is that whether you have money or not, when you live alone, you don't eat properly. You'll make a bologna sandwich or have a bag of potato chips or something just to get you through the day. So we made the application for the nutrition site, and it was presented to the Jewish Community Center Senior Adult Committee. Well, on that committee sat people from council. And when they heard that we had made that application, there was a hayroom at that meeting that night you can't believe. But it became the catalyst for the merger.
They both wanted it.
They both wanted it. And council realized that if the center got the nutrition program, they would build more program around it, as was the legal necessity, because there has to be ancillary program that goes with it, and then council itself would lose some of its people. Now, from the very beginning, program-wise, that merger was the most successful thing you would ever want to see. It was the best thing that ever happened. And people who participated as members of the two organizations or as people who just came to the 3A's program, I mean, the numbers just grew and it was wonderful. I mean, I could begin to tell you funny stories about the lay committee that was developed. It was always, when it first started, four people from council, four people from the center, four people from the senior adults, and the chairman was always from council, and the center supervised the staff. And I mean, that was the basic agreement that was made, and everybody's game was to keep their own autonomy. And so much foolishness went on because you forgot to mention a name or you didn't print the full name. The full name of the organization is Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Anathan House, Jewish Community Center, Senior Adult Program. Mm. And that name had to appear no matter when we mentioned the merger. Mm. And it was my job to make sure of that.
Full-time job.
It was a full-time job. It was my job, really, to be the liaison between the two, and it was. And that's why Arthur kept me in that position for many years, even though it really, my responsibility went above and beyond that. He kept me in that position because I could relate to the council ladies.
When did this merger situation start?
It probably started in 1960, but it didn't.
You mean there was a little cooperation between the two agencies back in 1960?
A little, very little, very little. But the merger itself didn't take place. I think it was 1974.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think this is a contribution you can make. It seems like this problem of distrust between agencies, you know, consolidating happened between the Hill and here. It's going to most probably happen between Oakland and Square Hill or whatever it is. Here it is again. How can we prevent this, or is that a normal kind of stepping stone or growth pattern between,
well,
is it just common to Jews, or
I don't know, Vicki. I think it's change, and I think people are always afraid of change. But I think the move out of this building has been accomplished very well, and I think it will continue to be a positive kind of thing once the decision on where to build the new building and they begin to show what it is, I think there will be no difficulty with that. And the reason it's so easy too is because there's only one board. There's only one board and one committee. You know, when the merger of the Y and the Irene Kaufman Centers first came, there was an Emma Kaufman Camp board, there was a Y board, and there was a Jewish Community Center board, an Ira Kaufman Center board in Squirrel Hill. That was three boards that had, and the East End board, please.
How about the health club?
And the Board of Governors, that's right. They called themselves the Board of Governors, and it was the most difficult thing to stop them from using that name, to become a committee of the Jewish Community Center.
I wouldn't have changed either if I was on the Board of Governors. I'm a little concerned about your feeling that it's been an easy move. We've had two groups in Squirrel Hill with attorneys fighting it, and it's been anti-Semitism concerning it. And so I either think that the community doesn't want it, if they wanted it badly enough, they'd build it any place. There's been a lot of power fights against it.
Well,
is that just
normal
change?
You know, Vicki, that's normal.
Okay.
And it's interesting to me. I still feel very strongly if the proper homework had been done before those sites had ever been mentioned, all this wouldn't have happened. You know, we ran into the same thing when we built the family park in Monroeville, and we ran into the same thing in East End, and we ran into the same thing when we built the extension in Squirrel Hill. People love the institutions, but it's like, don't move next door to me.
How do you think they're going to raise the funds for this?
By working hard.
You think it's a possibility?
I have concerns about raising the funds. The funds are, there are limited funds in the Jewish community. We are a small population. If you examine the history of the giving in Pittsburgh, we have no huge, huge, huge givers here in the city. We have many very generous people. But there are very few people known to give $1 million at a time. Now, the center is very fortunate in that the Henry Kaufman Foundation is still our greatest friend. But they, I hope, will continue to be the dollar matching angels that they always have been, because that does place some of the responsibility on the community. And I think the community must take responsibility, but I think we have to be realistic in the building that we're projecting, in a realistic projection that the community will be able to handle. Because I also feel very strongly that looking at things as a community, the home, we have to look at the home too. The home is in desperate need of help.
Have a ground to know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Who's taking care of this Henry Kaufman Foundation? Who nurses that?
That still operates out of New York with a board of its own.
Uh-huh.
And John Wolf from Pittsburgh, of course, is still very active on that board.
Is he on the New York board?
Sure.
Why doesn't someone get his son on it?
Well, do you know, Jimmy and John are both becoming active in the center, and it's really, it's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy's been on the board for quite a while, and John has been active on a couple of committees, John Jr. And that's happened, that's what's so wonderful, to see so many of the young leadership involved.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to continue with that, to tell you the kinds of
things? That's encouraging.
Billy Oster is on the board. Jerry Ostra's son. The Latterman kids are becoming involved. Cheryl Latterman, in fact, just won one of the awards at the annual meeting. Jimmy and John are both becoming involved.
And so, the Rudolphs.
The Rudolph kids, of course. So it's just great to see that there are young people that begin to take leadership.
That speaks well of the organization indoctrinating the youngsters with the leadership program and working them into places of responsibility.
That's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what has to be.
Now, it seems to me one of the needs that they've met for a long time has been the nursery school program. and the baby nursery. Now, you said that the synagogue should take care of their program, you know what I mean? Now, it seems to me, and I may not be, that this has become a very major thrust of the thing, that it's a very large daycare center. Is that the business a community center should be in? How much larger should it get? Is it competitive with private? Is it the best place to meet the needs of the community?
I think there has to be a Jewish early childhood program, because I think that's where it all begins. I think that the center is the very logical place for that to be, because it is acceptable to all facets of Judaism.
Okay, well, that's important, that to all facets. Do you see it becoming...
That's the beauty of the center.
Uh-huh. Do you see it becoming more orthodox? It seems to me never did they answer the phone shalom until, you know, recently. What direction do you see it taking?
Do you know how long that Shalom Pittsburgh has been answered?
Telephone interruption. Maybe it's that they're about done, honey. You can turn off.
Oh, hey there, how are you? Good
to hear. Can I call you back?
Not on, is it? It is now.
Okay, so we were talking a little bit about what direction you think the Ikes will go. Will it get more conservative, less conservative, orthodox, reform?
I think in order for the center to be acceptable to everybody, the kashrut is the most important aspect of that. That's the first welcome to everybody. Everybody can come.
No discrimination.
That's right.
That seems to be a thread that you've been talking about through a lot of things.
It has to be for everybody. That's what the word community means. You know, it is not a proselytizing organization. It's a retainer of custom and culture and education. So how orthodox in everybody's behavior and practice, I can't guarantee that. Mm-hmm. But just so if you want to practice as you want to practice, you can do it within those four walls.
Mm-hmm. What would you do differently if you had your choice? What would you have done with a great pattern?
I think the thing that I would fight even harder for is more community planning, total community. I felt very good about many of the things that kept happening and the growth that happened in the program of the center and the ability to identify the needs and trying to meet those needs. My greatest frustration always came in two organizations doing it together. We should have much more of that, total community planning.
Well, I don't understand. You said your total frustration was two organizations doing it together.
Well, instead of you doing yours and my doing mine,
the meshing.
More of the meshing of the projects.
More of we instead of I.
That's absolutely it.
Do you think it should be less professional staff and more community planning? Or
no. I think it has to be a marriage. Because the professional staff does come with expertise that the community doesn't have. So to me, a true community organization is a partnership between the lay and the professional. And I always defined it very simply. The lay people are the planners and the identifiers of the needs and the suggesters.
and the professional staff have to carry out the programs to meet those needs. And then everybody knows what their own task is.
Now, we come to the point when I think others can learn in the future from you about knowing when to quit. What made you decide to retire when this was certainly part of your bloodstream? Your children were grown and gone.
What made me decide to retire is I worked all those years because I loved it.
Okay, quick. Let's have our coffee.
Okay.
Is that right? You have time?
Sure.